Please be seated. It was in the little church in the Tsimshian village of Metlakatla off the coast of Prince Rupert. I was conducting a confirmation service. The church was crowded. In front, on my right, were the candidates, about 20 or so. On my left, the rest of the children from the village to see what was going on. The service proceeded well until a little fellow in the front row on the left joined in a way I didn't expect. "I like your necklace," he said. I thanked him and then hoped the congregation would pay attention to what I was saying. A little later on, I guess it was the same sermon, it was a long one, he joined in again. "Are you a servant of God?" he said. I drew myself up to my full height. "I am," I said. "Well, you don't look like a servant," he said. He'd been watching too much Downton Abbey. Isaiah doesn't say much about what servants look like. He says a great deal about what they are. He says a lot about what they do. In his four servant poems, he spells out the mandate of the servant, the scope of servanthood. I thought as we reflect this week, particularly on the one who said, "I came to serve," I thought we might reflect on our own servanthood. "Behold my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights." That's how the first poem begins. The one we read today takes it a step further. "The Lord called me before I was born. When I was in my mother's womb, he named me." So it seems that my servanthood was not a bright idea of mine. At some point, I recognized this, and at some point, I made some kind of response. Maybe I had a Damascus Road experience. More likely, it was a sinking feeling that I wished would go away. But there it is. "You are my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights." I've never got over that. It's amazing. God is delighted with his choice. Now the tools of the trade. What equipment goes to being a servant, God's servant? I love this. "He made my mouth a sharp sword. He made me a polished arrow." A mouth like a sharp sword. There's one in every parish. And in some pulpits. This has nothing to do with the damage a cutting, sharp tongue can do. It does have to do with a sharp sword is the efficient sword. It's the one that gets the job done. The mouth of the servant is meant to be effective and efficient. What we say counts. And like the polished arrow, the rough arrow flies erratically. The polished, smooth arrow is straight and to the point. It reaches its target. And interestingly, arrows are not kept singly. They're kept in a quiver. In his quiver, he hid me away. Along with all the other arrows, I'm not meant to be a solitary servant fighting the battles alone. I'm always in company, in communion with all the other servants of God. And I can never imagine that somehow I'm separate from them. And in the heat and burden of the day, when the times are hard and when the going is rough, in the shadow of his hand, he hid me. Imagine the heat of the desert, the heat burning down, and the struggling traveler finds rest in a shadow if he can find it. The servant of God, no matter how heated the burden becomes, how long the day becomes, how hard the journey becomes, there is the shadow of God's hand giving rest and refreshment. And even so, there are still times when we wonder if we're wasting our time. The servant says, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. We're running and getting nowhere, like the mouse in the treadmill. What Ecclesiastes calls striving to catch the wind. It all seems pointless. It's maybe time to give up and give in. If you've never felt like that, stick around. You will. And it's at that point that God gives this reminder, you are my servant, in whom I will be glorified. That's the mandate. That's what servanthood is all about. It's our purpose. Michael Ramsay wrote a little booklet called Doxa, Glory. And he writes that the word glory at its heart means God bursting through visibly. That's what our business is. That's what mission is. That's what we do in all our programs, our plans, our visions, in our worship, in our synods, councils. Our purpose is to enable God to burst through visibly into God's world. And that mandate was given not when we were made deacons, not when we were ordained priests, not when we were consecrated bishops. It was given, as Isaiah says, before I was born, while I was still in my mother's womb. And it was publicly celebrated when the faith community gathered around a font and I was baptized. And I look into the mirror and he says, there is my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. And from the pulpit or from the pew, I look around and see the people of God, and he says, there is my servant, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. And we will reaffirm that servanthood today.